All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects, and if you were playing along with us yesterday, you would know that the theme was picked before the show was over in honor of Small Ball, the Houston Rockets. We have decided that title artist Small Little Lil or references like that are okay.
Yeah, you guys didn't leave me much meat on the bone by doing your lists.
Well, I felt like there was plenty for everybody.
I feel like I felt a sigh of relief, actually, because last night, after hearing Nick mention on multiple occasions in the final hour of the show that his list was almost completed, when I turned my computer on last night about 8:30, I went, oh, well, looky here.
No one's
Nicky
done
hasn't
it.
Turned in a list.
Yeah.
I might want to get on this now as opposed to tomorrow morning and capitalize. And so I did.
Well, you did.
And then Nick did after me. And then I went.
You really didn't take many of my songs, so I wasn't really worried about it.
I was like, oh, man, I thought your list was good, a tad predictable, but
fine.
Nick's was really good. I was like, man, he kind of.
Yeah, that Kenny Chesney song took it.
Yeah, there was maybe one or two, but there was like there was some good stuff. So I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. So I have one very offensive song on my list.
Did you put Randy Newman on there?
I did.
Because it was on mine until the last minute that I took it off.
I went,
I'm not going to worry about this because Barry's going to pick it up.
It was the first song that I put on my list, and then I moved it to the middle to try to like hide it.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be the first thing I played. But yeah, that's on there. And then I'm probably going to get DQ'd on a technicality, but whatever. Now, if you guys don't find the technicality, I'm not going to say it.
I promise you I won't look.
Okay. Very well. I like it then.
Yes.
We're good.
Yes. So all your candidates, I'm sure, came out on top last night. Super Tuesday was a super duper.
Yeah. Why did they? I saw that there was a Republican primary. What was the point?
Yeah. Trump had like a million and some votes. And like, I was like, who's he running against?
What's the point? You know who that's going to be.
Right. I didn't get that one. But I guess they're labeling it one of the biggest comebacks or. I don't know. Joe Biden came back from behind. Beat Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, in Texas, right?
Yeah, to win Texas. And I guess that shocked some people. Bernie won California.
Bernie won California. Now, I didn't, when I shut the TV off, because I could only stand so much of the results. But Bernie won California and Bloomberg was second for a while. I don't know if that's how it ended up. And then Biden was third, but he ended up winning Super Tuesday, so to speak, because of all the victories that he did have.
And the Bloomer backed out today.
Yeah.
So, 200 million in later in advertising and other dollars right out of your own pocket, and you folded up your tent and you're going home.
Now, Trump had a field day on Twitter.
He calls him like Mini Mike.
Well, his first tweet was, Mini Mike Bloomberg just quit the race for president. I could have told him long ago that he didn't have what it takes, and he would have saved himself $1 billion, the real cost. Now he will pour money into Sleepy Joe's campaign, hoping to save face. It won't work. Like, he went in on Elizabeth Warren. One of his tweets was, Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, other than Minnie Mike, was the loser of the night. She didn't even come close to winning her home state of Massachusetts. Well, now she can go sit back with her husband and have a nice cold beer. Trump was out roasting fools last night on Twitter. And I'm not a big fan of his, but you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, he just started cracking on folks. And I kind of liked it. I'm not going to lie. It was kind of funny.
It's weird because we deal with Twitter, right? And we know that for all the good dialogue we have on social media, we also get the keyboard warriors that come at us.
Sure.
The difference is when you're the president of the United States, you can do what he did last night, but if anybody claps back at you and says anything harmful or otherwise, Secret Service is knocking at your door.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, you can't threaten. But he's not threatening nobody. The one I meant to read it for Mike Bloomberg was this one. The biggest loser tonight by far is Mini Mike Bloomberg. His, quote, political consultants took him for a ride. $700 million washed down the drain, and he got nothing for it but the nickname Mini Mike and the complete destruction of his reputation. Then he ends it with, way to go, Mike! Exclamation. Those are two really good roast tweets from a president.
Yeah, he's not the most
presidential thing in the world to do to roast people. It's Trump, though.
He's just sitting back and watching it all happen. Oh, yeah. And just taking it all in right now because he doesn't care till it gets down to one on the other side.
Although, I mean, you know, at what point do you stop bringing up his tiny hands, right? If you're Mini Mike.
Everybody's got something to go to, right?
Sure.
So I just wish we could cut through all this crap and just get down to brass tacks.
I think it's funny, but I still say I prefer my presidents to be presidential. So
I hear you. Super funny, though. I hear
good roast.
Yeah. So speaking of good roast, you didn't roast anything in your new
Instapot?
Yeah.
No, but I put out a call for recipes, and the results so far has been really good.
Really?
I did it on my Facebook, where it's mostly just friends and family. Mm-hmm. And then I did it on my Twitter as well, and people have been tweeting and Facebooking me recipes, and I haven't made anything yet. I got home at like 10:30 last night, so it wasn't happening.
You did the improv thing, right?
Yeah, and I meant to ask you something, Nicholas. Are you busy? Do you have a second? I know you're a busy man.
No, I'm good.
I started watching Curb Your Enthusiasm because you were on me about not watching it, and you know, being a comedian, you were telling me that it's one of the so. At what point does it get good?
I will say this.
I'm four episodes in and I haven't laughed once. I mean, you had one chuckle.
Maybe season three is probably where But I liked it all. I like the humor. I appreciate it.
You need him to go through two seasons before it gets
That's
good?
That's 20 episodes.
I wanted to cover myself.
I won't say who told me this because I don't want to throw them, put their business out there. But someone recommended it. I just, quote, go in the backyard. In other words, go outside and smoke a J, and then watch it. Is it better if you're high?
I've definitely watched it that way. but
does it get funnier that way? Because
I just love his humor.
I see the potential in it. It's one of those things, if I was watching it for the first time and didn't know there was 10 seasons, and it was season one, and I was four episodes in, I'd be like, I can stick with this because it'll be funny. It's just not funny yet.
Like I told everybody, it's a dry humor and a lot of people don't like it. It's not for everybody.
I don't know if you remember season one and the episodes, but do you remember the Gil, the porn guy?
No. Tell me more. Give me more details.
Like his friend used to be in porn and they go to his house for a dinner party.
Yeah, I do think I remember that.
The only funny thing was when he breaks the lamp and that lady freaks out because he never took his shoes off in the house. That made me laugh.
Oh, okay.
But that's literally in four episodes, that's it. So if you're out there and you haven't watched it, Uncle Barry says you ain't missing much yet.
Well, I would say...
Do yourself a favor. Jump to season three. Because now I can't... My OCD won't allow me to be four episodes into season one and just jump to three.
I can't remember if you can start skipping seasons and it'll allow you to do it without being confused. Do you like JB Smoove?
Yes.
He comes in like late though.
Okay.
He comes in like... season four or five.
I can't understand him half the time, but I do like
him. The same time Vivica Fox comes into the...
Okay.
And I thought that was...
Okay, so I'll stick around. I mean, I plan on watching all 10 seasons. I may just have to...
I haven't even watched season 8, 9, or 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've only watched every season from 1 through 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I was telling Barry, I recorded and started watching... They did on Reels Network. They did...
Of all the things to watch...
They did a 2-hour behind the scenes on the making of the movie The Breakfast Club.
Uh-huh.
And it was amazing. It's just really interesting in terms of like who was up for roles that didn't get it that could have been Molly Ringwald or Judd Nelson or Amelia. And John Hughes is a freaking genius.
Now, is this on demand? Can I go back and watch this?
You should be able to go to the Reels channel and just
on demand.
Okay. Yeah, and you can catch up on it because remember we talked about it was the anniversary of the movie,
right? Right.
So they brought this thing out, and I was at least it's like really it's a good movie, but and I go no, this is awesome, and you know periodically. They bring up different scenes from the movie. When Judd Nelson is talking to Molly Ringwald for the first time, or one of the first times, and he goes, your name is Claire?
And she goes, yeah, it's a family name. And he goes, no, it's a fat girl's name. And I just love some of the lines in that movie are just priceless.
Great. It's a great movie.
Yeah, so I was watching that last night, and I haven't finished
it. I'm just proud of you for watching TV. I don't care what it is.
Yeah,
something not sports related. Yeah. Did you not watch Sixers Lakers?
No.
Really?
Nah.
I caught the fourth quarter.
Okay, so the big to do on a Sixer playing a Sixers team that didn't have their two best players was that LeBron, which give me the reason why, but he pulled up from midcourt and made a jump shot.
Yeah, that was pretty nasty.
But why would you do that?
Just to show you can.
Okay.
He shot it from Shaq's hairline.
And that too. So he loses a bet with Dwayne Wade.
That's so good.
So he has to grow out his hair a little bit and then get to show where his hairline is, and it's back there.
And somebody said that Dwayne Wade said that Shaq's hairline is where Trae Young shoots it from.
So funny. Quentin Richardson
that is
said
the best. Oh,
that his
so
forehead
good.
Is an IMAX theater.
Oh, that was good times. Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot going on with sports last night.
No.
I mean, I caught some of the Laker game. LeBron's big steal and dunk to, put the exclamation mark on it. But other than that, it wasn't much, unless you're a college basketball fan.
The first game last night.
I missed that.
I turned it off.
Yeah.
But one of the great comebacks in recent history in the NBA, as the Nets were getting plastered by the Celtics.
Oh, that's right. They were down like 29?
Yeah. And going into the fourth quarter, I want to say, was it Caris LeVert had 14 points and ends up with 37
crazy
in the fourth quarter in overtime, and the Nets come back to beat the Celtics. And then after the game, or critical play in the game, Celtics up 3 with just seconds remaining, and the Nets have the ball, and Marcus Smart was amongst three Celtics that basically swarmed on the shooter. There's no doubt on the replay, Marcus Smart got his arm about 3 different times. But after the game was said and done, he went at the officials so hard, dropping P-bombs. And just,
it looked like they were going to fight.
Yeah, he's going to get suspended.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was one thing. But, I mean, overall, I'm with you. There just wasn't a whole hell of a lot going on last night. But that was a hell of an ending
to Do you think it was because it was Super Tuesday and they knew everybody would be out standing in line to vote? Because there were reports of long lines.
TSU, the last guy voted after midnight.
Damn.
He was in line for over 6 hours.
Well, good for him, though, for actually sitting in line and voting. That's outstanding. I don't know who that person is, but they deserve more than just a sticker.
One guy who I'm not sure was all the way there or not, but one guy was in line, then went to his car and pulled out his saxophone and a stool and came back and decided he was going to entertain the people who had to wait in line.
Oh, that's cool.
So Channel 2 does a live shot and he starts breaking out Careless Whisper by George Michael.
Nice.
So they go to him while he's playing. So he stops playing and does the interview to explain what he did, got his saxophone to entertain the people, whatever. He goes, all right, thanks for talking to me. Goes back to throw it back to the studio and right back, doesn't miss a beat, just goes right back into Careless Whisper. And Dominic Sox is like, I believe that was Careless Whisper by George Michael.
That's
right there.
Great.
So
yeah,
it was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there was a lot of problems with the entire voting process at certain poll locations. But
yeah, not good. You always hate to, because then, then your conspiracy theorists start coming out and be like, oh, it's rigged.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
By the way, it was Caris LeVert who had 51. He was 5 of 10 from 3. I think if Harden can do that.
Better than James.
Yeah, that'd be a good step. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Just getting it started here on The Usual Suspects. You can join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call it number, text it number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a long time. It's the only place I'd go if I need anything done with my roof on my house, and you should too. Because whether you have a leaky roof or you just want to put a new roof on your place, They're the guys to go to because they take care of it all here locally. It's not storm chasers, deposit thieves, sketchy roofers that get your money up front and then don't do the work the way you want it done, and you can't find them to actually make a complaint or get work done. Fitz Roofing is here in Houston, and they're dedicated to the community. So much so that they have a Fitz for Families program. 10% of their profits goes back to the community to help people that have needs for roofing but cannot afford to pay for them. It's simple. They love Houston and the people that live here. FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them 832-521-3001. You get a free no-obligation inspection today. You call them, they come to you. They tell you what they can do, and then they go do their rest of their day. You want them to come back, just reach back out. They'll come back and do fantastic work throughout the process. 832-521-3001 gets you that free no-obligation inspection today. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting it started on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a way back Wednesday in the Big City. Songs pre-2010 in honor of Small Ball for your Rockets. Little Small title artist. You guys know the deal.
What if the artist was just a little person? Does that count?
Again, I probably won't fight it.
The song is called Size Ain't Bleep, and it's by Bushwick Bill of the Ghetto Boys. Yeah. Does that count or am I disqualified?
I think both.
There's no little, small, but he's a little person. And the song is about being little. Size ain't shoot.
I think I'm disqualified.
I think I'd allow it.
I think Joel will allow it.
Okay. Because I wouldn't allow it for you. But I'm just going to point that out.
That's me making the bigger point.
You're being a better person?
Who is the better person and the most open-minded okay. of the two of
Fair
us.
Fair enough. I just want you to know. I would
throw Nick into the middle of that.
I would totally disqualify both of you if you had done that. Just FYI. And so I'm willing to take my punishment and be disqualified.
No, I'd like you to wallow in how crappy your list was.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's that too. I mean, it's no Kenny Chesney, but
so people don't hold back. Just tell them how bad his list was. Rip it open, song by song.
You don't have to pander now. You're taking this a little further than needed.
Just
to go.
Like if it's a scab, just rip it open and go at him. It's fine.
There's a tweet right now trending, or a hashtag that's trending. Hashtag rigged DNC. And I think we all know what happened last time with Bernie and Hillary. And there were memos that came out where they were saying how they wanted Hillary and they basically manipulated the system so that Bernie didn't get the nomination. And now I read a couple of articles real fast, including one on MSNBC. And they were talking about the fact that the long lines were suppressing certain voters, certain ethnicities of voters. And I guess two parts. I mean, your vote still counted.
Right.
So you just, as long as you stayed in line and your vote would count. And yeah, it sucks you had to wait. But how do you not? So one, don't go home. If you want your vote to count, stay in line.
The problem is not many people are willing to, or sometimes able to, give up 6 to 7 hours of their schedule mm-hmm. and their day just to place their vote.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay.
But if you want your vote to count, mm-hmm. You stay in line.
Well, you do what you got to do. I mean, if you're that passionate about it, sure.
The other thing is if you're Harris County, how do you not plan on that many people? You know how many people are in a district. Like, you know that in this district, because everybody is assigned a voting district, right. So you can clearly look at that and go, okay, there are X amount of people population-wise in this district. We should probably have this many. They had to send 12 more voting machines to a Houston Community College so that to accommodate the over 300 people that were in line to vote.
So here's my bigger problem, and it's with that issue right there. The fact that when they asked the people from the voting commission that had to get those machines and do all those things,
uh-huh.
she one stated that it had to be agreed upon between both parties, however many machines, whatever was being done, and then they had to adjust on the fly because they had more machines for the Republicans than they did for the Democrats early on, and then realized that the presidential nominee's election on the Democratic side was the one that everybody was passionate about, so they had to bring in more machines.
Wait, so there's specific machines for specific parties?
Just between the two parties, they were, and the locations, they were.
But
they had to agree on how many machines went in how many places, and for some reason, they felt like the TSU location, there were more people coming out to vote than per se in River Oaks or wherever it was, because the Republican Party, Trump's already going to get the nomination.
Oh,
so they had to shift machines and do things with machines. You don't think going in, knowing that Trump, like we said, he won, they had to announce it, but who's running against him? You don't think that this was the biggest pressing, biggest race that there was between all these Democratic candidates?
Yeah, that's interesting that you might overestimate in some polling locations and others. I think the question becomes is, was it intentional? Or do people just make mistakes? Are you just, people are dumb. And sometimes ignorance of your job isn't necessarily part and parcel to voter suppression.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not falling on one side or the other on this. I'm just questioning, how is it that you don't know?
Well, here's the other thing.
How do you not know that? I mean,
You're right. But
and your point is valid about, okay, if you're in a predominantly, African American and Latino community, odds are, and it's not across the board, but odds are they're probably going to be more Democratic in what they vote for than say a River Oaks or wherever, mm-hmm. where it might be more Republican based.
Right.
So yeah, you would think you would adjust for that as well.
Here's the other thing.
Common sense would tell you that.
They didn't do a good job, if this is indeed the case, because they said it on the news, I believe. But unlike previously, when you have to find out where you vote, I believe they lifted the sanctions on that, and that you could vote anywhere in Harris County if you were a registered voter in Harris County, as opposed to like when I was in Midtown, I knew there was only the one grocery store, the one school I could vote at, mm-hmm. when it rotated. They had made reference to that, but said that people really didn't know that. That's why everyone around TSU was just still coming to TSU.
And people,
they didn't have enough machines.
And yeah, they said people drove to different locations.
Yeah.
And then just gave up and went home.
And that's the crazy thing. Now, because this was just the primaries, they were just voting within their party, it's not as big of a deal. Where you could really make the allegations and say there was discrimination, say all these things, if this was indeed the election in November.
Yeah, that's true too. The other thing is, they talked about the fact that Texans now requires a driver's license to vote.
I believe so. I mean, that's all they asked me for, and I told Lisa to bring hers.
And they say that that's also a form of voter suppression. And I'm like, no, I actually happen to agree with that. You should have proof that you're a citizen of the country with the right to vote, mm-hmm. and be able to prove. Now, just because you don't have a driver's license doesn't necessarily mean you're not a citizen of this country, because I'll give you a great example. Andy Huggins doesn't have a driver's license,
right. But
he has some sort of identification that is acceptable because he voted yesterday.
But passport.
Something. You can get just an ID card from the state.
Yep.
And some people are up in arms about that, because it used to not be the case. You just walked up, gave your name. I don't have a problem with that, because there are a lot of shady people on both sides that would manipulate voting by just saying, having people go back and maybe go twice or go from poll to poll or whatever. I don't have a problem with that.
Someone was saying,
is that wrong
like,
of me to not think people should be ID'd? In some form
of
fashion?
I think as long as you have some form of identification, I think you
can't. Because if not, how do you prevent people from voting
twice?
Well,
and the other thing was, I heard people saying that some places, I guess, did, instead of just early voting, there was also some way, like HEB curbside. Like, there was some way to do,
really?
Like, absentee. That opens yourself up.
Absentee balloting, I understand.
But, like, drive up curbside absentee or something. I was like,
go vote for Warren
you
for me.
You don't need the Russians to manipulate
like,
that system.
Okay. Yeah, that guy voted for Sanders. He didn't vote for Warren.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's shady.
So we're just a half hour into the show. With everything that wasn't going on last night, something was. Nick posted it on Twitter, and I could have done without it, because now I can't stop seeing it. And it just freaked the hell out of me. So we'll talk about it next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Making my ends, smoking big killer, getting high in.
Y'all, check it. Call Lil C's. Tell that motherfucker bring me some hospital. Notorious. Tell that reporter to go pick up 10,000 from Dez and go take about like 20 G's from Gino.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I was just listening to see if you were doing your job on this one, Nicholas, because
clean version, sir.
When he says to tell the nurse with the long hair to come over and ask the D, I was wondering if that was going to be on the edit list. Well done on your part. So, love that song.
Several people chiming in on the voting thing and requiring an ID and waiting in line, and Eric Hostetter and several others on the text line said that lesson learned, just go vote early. That's one way to avoid lines on Election Day or Super Tuesday, is to take advantage of early voting. Because a lot of people don't, and rarely is there a line at early voting. So
that's true.
Because people are like, oh, Barry, not everyone can wait in line for 6 hours. They have kids and this and that. I get it. So go early vote. If you want your vote to count, go early vote. Or, you know, those same people, I imagine when they want to go out to dinner and a movie and have a date night, they can find a sitter or somebody to watch their kids. So that's all I'm saying is I'm not suggesting that it isn't difficult, but there are alternatives, just like with the license thing. So somebody texted and said, IDs cost money. That's a form of poll tax, a.k.a. Jim Crow laws, to disenfranchise persons of color. There has been an infinitesimally small amount of voter fraud in the USA in the last decade. Educate yourself, Barry.
Wait, come on. Barry, educate yourself. When you just pronunciated that word.
Infinitesimally small.
That was well done,
thanks,
sir.
Appreciate that. Infinitesimum. Now I messed it up.
Six syllables.
Yeah, thanks.
Wow.
Thanks. That's a good word to use.
Yes.
Yeah. Good for them. The problem with your argument is that, yes, I pulled it up on the website. There are 7 forms of ID you can use. As well, it specifically says if you don't possess any of these, you could actually fill out a reasonable impediment declaration and use a current utility bill, a bank statement, a government check, a paycheck, a government document with your name on it, a birth certificate. So you don't have to pay for an ID. But you have to prove that you're a citizen of this country, and that's the point. It's not about voter suppression. It's not about a poll tax, because there are ways to do it for free. So nice try. How about you educate yourself?
Although impressive on their part for using that word as well.
Infinitesimally small, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And don't you have a poll tax at strip clubs? Okay. Just thought I'd ask. You're going to keep staring at me. You're like my wife. Only you're doing it. No, you're about doing the same amount of time. There's plenty of times when I go, you know, you can stare at me all day. It's going to annoy the hell out of me, but I'm not going to change my opinion.
I'm not taking back the dad joke.
Right. With hers, it wouldn't be a dad joke. Well, maybe it would, but yeah. It doesn't matter.
You are a dad, and you do make jokes, so you get a certain amount of leeway with me. Not a lot, but a little.
Boy, you guys have a lot in common. Nick posted this to Twitter. I saw it this morning. I can honestly say, Nicholas, of all the things that you have ever posted to Twitter, this is the one I didn't need to see, I don't need to see again, and I can't stop thinking about. Last night, if you missed it, the New York Islanders hockey team have a defenseman by the name of Johnny Boychuk. He was skating around the side of the net when a guy in front of him from the Canadiens was kind of pushed a little bit, and he fell forward. And I tell you this before I tell you that if you go watch the video, be prepared. He falls forward. His skates go up in the air. The blade of his skate goes diagonally across the face of Johnny Boychuk. Mm-hmm. He's not wearing a shield. He's not wearing any kind of a face mask. And I got to tell you, they initially thought, brace yourselves, that the skate sliced across his eyeball.
Ugh.
Thankfully,
I don't want to watch this video.
The skate blade hit his eye, but it was his eyelid. However, it took 90 stitches.
On an eye?
And across his face.
Eyelid.
Eyelid across his face.
The eyelid's not even that big for 90 stitches.
Well, across his face, too. I didn't hear that detail.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I definitely don't need to see this.
Well, I mean, you don't really see the blood in the video that I
just see his face meat everywhere.
How, especially if it's around the goal, both teams like take it personal and they kind of start shoving no matter what happens. The minute this happened, guys on both teams went and they just started skating off the ice.
They just left.
They were just like, oh,
my
God. They
quit the game.
Yeah, it was nasty.
They just quit hockey right there.
Ugh. I see some hockey fans on the tweet thread that feel that might possibly be intentional. I'm not a big enough of a hockey fan to tell you either way. But
how could that be?
That would be not cool if that was intentional.
But you're falling forward face first, and your feet go up from behind you. I don't know how that could be intentional.
I didn't see the video.
I think you need to check it out.
If you want me to throw up on air,
now I really think you should check it out.
You see the skate hit his face, but you don't actually see the cut.
You don't see his face open up.
You don't see the blood going out. You don't see any of that.
Okay. For me, it's just the thought process.
Exactly.
Of the blade,
it's the thought of a blade
eye,
hitting your face. It's not like you saw Kevin Ware's leg snap or something like that, you know?
Oh, okay.
Now,
still,
let me ask you. I've said this forever and a day, but this obviously accentuates it even more. Why aren't all hockey players wearing face shields?
That's a good question.
Whether it's a puck going 100 and some miles an hour.
Yeah,
you know, remember when the Fox was trying to do hockey on TV for a while and they tried to do the lighted puck because it's so hard to follow?
Right.
Well, be on the ice and see that thing coming at you at 110. And try and get out
How
of the
do you
way.
Not have on a helmet
Why are you not
a
wearing
shield?
A face shield or like a, you know, they do the wire mask similar to a football face mask, but thinner, just so that you don't take one in the gourd or like take. There's been several of these where inadvertently a skate can slip up and God, you could cut. There was one guy that almost got cut in the jugular one time. It's
ooh,
just.
See, that's a scary proposition. Ooh. Cut somebody. Okay, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I mean.
Am I going to vomit?
The bucket's
I don't
right
think
there
so.
Next to you.
It's not. Okay. Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
It's not pretty, gang.
Do they show the cut?
No.
No, they don't go close
up. And not in that
up.
Particular tweet.
Thankfully, they did not.
Oh.
If you're the TV guys, the producer and the director on that one, that's one where you use your own discretion to go, don't go close up on that.
Now, the goaltender has a more,
that's
I guess,
not intentional.
Protective
Correct.
Face mask, but the players that roam around, they just have that clear plastic. I don't know if it's plastic, but that clear.
So it's up to every
shield.
Player. It's up to every player. Every player can decide whether they want no shield at all, no face guard. Some do like the helmet face guard, like a football helmet face guard. Others just do the eye to like the bridge of the nose because of the breathing and all that. If the shield gets steamed up. I don't know if I'm playing in NHL. If I'm not, I would have to wear some kind of face protection.
ATX Hobo Girl tweeted us. Thankfully, no permanent damage to his eye.
No, boy, but you're thinking about
still scary. Though.
Yeah, but think about the permanent damage to 90 stitches is going to leave a mark.
Well, that's cool though.
I mean,
chicks
like
scars.
Player.
Yeah, he already has no teeth.
There's puck bunnies.
He's
out
like
there.
He's like a Eskimo redneck. He's got no
puck
teeth.
Bunnies?
That's what they're called.
Puck bunnies?
I've never heard that before.
Puck bunnies. They're called puck bunnies.
Puck bunnies, all right.
He's like, you know, Canadian redneck, no teeth, scars on his face.
Why you got to call him a Canadian redneck?
I don't know. It's hockey. It's all Canadian, right?
Could be a Czechoslovakian redneck.
I mean, I just assume every hockey player is from Canada.
That was racist.
No, it's countryist.
Well, that too.
Oh, it's nationist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Countryist,
it's not rightist.
Huh?
It's not rightist.
Okay. It's pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
But thank God they didn't show it.
Right. Hockey fans appreciate, there's a violent nature to the sport that they appreciate, but I don't think they want to see this.
Also, it doesn't look intentional to me.
I don't think so either. Mm-mm. Yeah, not at all.
I just saw it on the thread. I don't know. It might be just, you know, the fan base.
Could be.
Tripping.
But it looks like the goalie's, what the hell is it? His stick.
Yeah,
tripped the guy, and when he did, his leg flew up in the air, hit the other guy in the face. You got to be really good to make that all happen on purpose.
Yeah, and I just feel like the skate, because there's probably a little bit of weight on that skate with momentum. It just kind of probably swung up. That's my guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, look, if it was like a cross check face to face or something like that, and the guy got hit real hard on top, and he just decided, well, I'm going to get him back. You could, you know, he flung his feet up. I can see where you can start accusing of intentional, but when you're going face first on the way down, I don't know that you can't even see where your feet are going, let alone to say, well, you know, he looked up to intentionally try and get him in the face. I don't see that.
Yeah. Somebody texted the show and said, I wish you wouldn't talk about broader topics because you don't come across well, Barry. Oh, well, I'm sorry you don't agree with me. I honestly don't care. Like, I don't. Super Tuesday was a big topic. Voting was a big topic. I have my own opinions. Joe has his own opinions. Nick has his own opinions. And you obviously have your own opinions. And I'm sorry if you get butt hurt that you don't agree with the words that we say. All I did was use some facts from a votetexas.gov website to talk about IDs and stuff like that. Where was the lie, sir?
I'll tell you where there's not a lie. Apollo Men's Health. I met with Apollo Men's Health about a month ago because they were interested in getting involved with ESPN Radio, and I'm glad I did because these guys are just salt-of-the-earth good people. They're fantastic people, and their absolutely sole purpose in their business is to make sure that men that have any kind of issues going on, from low testosterone to, you know, other issues, maybe bedroom-related, and they want help from people that care, that they're going to be right there at Apollo Men's Health. It's simple. From the time you check in, if you're uncomfortable in the waiting room, they're going to put you in a side room so that you don't have to worry about who sees you in the lobby. If you are more comfortable and you need someone to kind of give you assurance because you want to make sure that you're making the right decision and you need people to help you, they're going to offer you water and Gatorade and take care of you like you're a member of their family, because they want you guys to be treated more like family than customers and realize you can trust them because they care. They're rooted in compassion and a desire for great outcomes. They're not just another testosterone therapy clinic. They offer cutting-edge hormone pellet therapy, body composition analysis, HGH peptide therapy, all to increase your overall quality of life. Remember, your health is your wealth, so invest in yourself. Call 832-664-9966 or go to their website, apollomh.com, to book your first appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. I'm telling you, you're going to love the way you get treated, and you're going to love the results even more. It's Apollo Men's Health.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, fellas, as we continue with hour number one of The Usual Suspects, I do like to sometimes double back on topics that we cover. Most of the time we cover them before anybody else. We were talking yesterday about miking up players during spring training games, and the conversation kind of carried through to they should do it like regular season games and, you know, really kind of do it as much as they can so that it would further engage fans again. Eduardo Perez, the ESPN announcer, brought up a great point this morning that I don't think we thought about, and he's absolutely right. He's like, yeah, it's all fine and dandy, and everybody likes it now, and it's a good idea. He goes, what happens when the guy you mic'd up is trying to talk to you with, you know, a critical situation in the game on the line, and he makes an error, and then the manager gets hot as can be because he's like, my guy's trying to concentrate, you're in his ear, and it cost us a ball game.
Well, my point wasn't to have a dialogue with the players during the game.
No.
My point is just to mic them up. Like they
so
do
you can
in
hear
football.
Talking first base.
Sure.
Or, yeah.
So, I mean, if he wants to talk into the microphone at the plate or say something funny to the catcher, or when they get to first base, you hear the conversation that takes place. But I don't think outside of spring training, you should be talking to any player outside of spring training, preseason football, or whatever. No way you talk to players in game. That would be crazy.
I think that would be the thing where all it would take is one episode.
Sure.
Because I literally lived through that. So and a lot of fans might remember this. But when the Rockets were playing the Blazers in the playoffs, where LaMarcus Aldridge had the first two games where he annihilated...
I remember that well.
Yeah, everybody that the Rockets threw at him.
Yep.
We were in Portland getting ready for game three. And we were getting... Obviously, we were getting beaten game two with another big Aldridge night. Kevin McHale was mic'd up. And they promised that there's a whole pecking order, right, yeah. where the audio is in the truck. Someone that represents the team is sitting next to the guy at the tape machine. Whoever is listening to it has to get team approval for whatever they put out there, and then everything has to be destroyed immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone got their 15 minutes of fame because they found a clip where JB Bickerstaff and McHale were talking, and they basically made some disparaging remarks about the effort level and things of the Rockets. It got out on social media. It got out all over the place, and we're at shoot-around, and it is a huge, huge deal. And McHale pulls me aside and he goes, and we're about to have a conference call with the head of NBA broadcasting and top officials in the league and everything else. And McHale calls me over and he goes, you just tell them I will never, ever, ever again do this
yeah.
because this is exactly what they promised me wouldn't happen. And this is exactly why it shouldn't be done. That's the thing that we would be facing if, God forbid, something happens where right. a guy's got to make a play and someone's either talking in their ear or it's distracting and they make an error.
Yeah, I could see that. And he's right. It's a risk. But I don't mind it in all-star games. I don't mind it in spring training games.
Right.
It's fun. And that's the...
In games that don't count in all-star games, absolutely fantastic.
To me, I just want to hear... And I would love to hear a coach be mic'd up. I would love to hear Brent Strom be mic'd up as long as we don't get the secret sauce, like what happened with McHale.
Right, right.
But I would have loved to heard what A.J. Hinch said to Ken Giles. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be great audio.
Right? Like, I don't need to know the X's and O's. I don't need to know the strategy. I don't need to know the secrets. But I want to know when Brent Strom goes out there because Framber Valdez refuses to throw a strike either because he can't or he won't. And I want to know what he goes out and chews his ass out and says.
That's what I want to hear from the XFL. I don't want to hear the coaches call the plays because all that's doing, I think, from a scouting perspective, is get people can kind of figure out what the play call is. But to the common fan sitting on the couch, you don't know what X right, trips left, da-da-da-da-da-da is. But you do want to hear dialogue between coach and quarterback, quarterback and receiver, yeah. things like that.
I don't think giving that information helps give the other teams an advantage because they can't hear the calls necessarily, and you can change the language. The way you're going to tell plays is the alignment and the things they do.
But I'll tell you how it could affect you, right? See, they're playing Seattle this week. Okay? They watched last week's game, and one of the times when June Jones or whoever calls in the play, they call a play, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone's in the video booth for Seattle this week, and June Jones is calling in a play again, and it's got that same play call to it. And depending on how quickly they can just, you know, get down, headset to the sidelines.
So you think they could get from
here comes
getting the
screen
play
pass
call,
left or whatever?
You could do pass run.
The minute
but
you hear
you know
it coming
that anyways.
In,
if you got any quarterback or any, you know, defensive captains worth their salt, they're going to be able to figure out pass or run just based off of formations. That's how they do it already. I mean, you can see how a team lines up. If they go trips right, motion out or back to a left, there's certain things they're going to do.
But I'm saying if you know what happened on that play that was called 2 weeks ago and then you hear it called again, and it's like sign stealing in baseball. It's a huge advantage to know it's going to be a swing pass or a run to which side and whatever.
It's also easy to change the language. You can change the language somewhat. You can say, hey,
depending
you know,
on the playbook, right?
Yeah.
How big that playbook is.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's easy to change the playbook. And you're talking about a finite amount of time that you have to get to process the play, look it up on a sheet, know what that is, get that back down to the defensive coordinator. Then he's got to relay it back to the guy who's got to tell all of his guys. By that time, the ball's probably snapped, especially if you're going hurry up.
But I'm saying, I don't need all of that. Yeah. I just need I would really be dialed into the dialogue on the field, in the huddles, during plays, things like that.
I agree with you. Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
I would love to hear that. And you know, I mean, I could see if you're lazy and don't change your plays, mm-hmm. then yeah, you may be able to just get like a quick little pass or run, which is significantly better information than you might not have. So I mean you're right. It could. I think people know that. That's so they probably are taking steps to avoid that, right? Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the XFL kind of went into this, you know, with the understanding with all the coaches and then the coaching staffs around the league that, hey, you know, this is probably going to be an disadvantage to you. It's up to you to kind of deal with it. Like the coaches
That's
are going
point.
In there with that mentality. Look, it's going to be a little bit harder for us when it comes down to playing calls because they want to put a different product on the field. I think if you go in there with that understanding with the coaches, they're probably not going to be able to say anything. So if there is a disadvantage, look, everybody's playing with that disadvantage.
But how would you feel if you're a coordinator, if you're an OC or a head coach trying to get a job in the NFL and you know you're fighting with one hand tied, you're up behind your back because the defense knows what's coming because they're relaying it. Like you said, they're somehow figuring it out. Now you're like, well, damn.
Well, theoretically, that should make you a better coordinator, right?
You would think. You would think.
I don't know if I can prove that.
Fast on your feet? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Well, this little gem came out of baseball today. They've got players mic'd up in the Mets-Cardinals game, and outfielder Dom Smith is mic'd up, and they caught him taking his hat off because he's got his cheat sheet for where he should play.
Right.
Well, Dom's teammate is J.D. Davis, who was on that Astros 2017 World Series championship cheating team. And they also can talk to him, and they asked him about the cheat sheet in his hat, and he's like, oh, JD's got a ton of cheat sheets, if you know what I'm saying.
Wow.
So, you know, like I told you, it's not going to be PC correct in the locker room. Amongst the guys, those players that were on the 2017 team, even if they're not on the Astros anymore, they're taking their fair share.
Ain't nobody letting him play cards in the locker room. Hey, can I get in and play cards? Nah, bro, you cheat. We don't want you to play cards with us. Yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so that'll wrap up hour number one. Still got 2 hours to go on the show. Plenty more to get to. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, because it's our HRNP listener line. Or just hit us up on Twitter. Hour number two, right around the corner. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.